Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
Welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm Andy Bates, not the Reverend Mark Wood. He'll be back with us, I believe, next week. But glad to have this opportunity to share with you a special guest today, Mark Kares, president of Truth in Love Ministry. Mark, welcome to Witness Wednesday.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andy.
Looking forward to learning a little bit about what you do today and hear some stories as well from you. So tell us, what is Truth in Love?
Truth and Love Ministry is a outreach mission to Mormons, to the Church of people of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we're based out west because, of course, that's where their population base is. But we are trying to really equip Christians to witness to the LDS, to the Mormons.
Now, when you say, to witness to those who are in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, if we don't know a whole lot about Mormons, we might say, well, why would you want to witness to somebody who's in a church?
Right. And they sincerely believe they're Christian, and many Christians believe they're Christian, but again, their doctrine is not Christian at all. And just one little example of that, there's a saying in Mormonism that was very common. It was, as man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. So, their ultimate goal of official Mormonism is to become a God. It's called exaltation. So, just that one little glimpse shows you that they're not a Christian religion.
So what is it that, how did you come to into this whole ministry of witnessing to those with a Mormon background?
Well, after I left the seminary, I was called to a church in Colorado, and I was called to a church in Idaho. And at that time, I knew a little bit about Mormonism from the little bit you learn at the seminary, but not much. But when we got to Idaho, I realized there was a pretty heavy LDS population. And so we wanted to reach out to them. So basically, over a long period of time of many failures, trying to find out a way to really bring God's word to them in their language, addressing their stress points. Because what happens is that many Christians, when they talk to Mormons, they talk to them about issues that really bug us Christians about Mormonism that really don't really bother Mormons, like the Trinity, for example. Mm-hmm. Mormons do not believe in the Trinity, but it's interesting. I've asked hundreds of people who were raised Christian, why did they become Mormon? And the number one answer is they made God understandable to me. As a Christian, I never understood the Trinity. Now I understand God because he's like us. And therefore, when Christians go talk to them about the Trinity, it's not one of their stress points. And so what we're trying to do is talk to them in areas where they have stress.
So we may try to talk about the Trinity, and they may use terms that are similar to ours. They talk about Heavenly Father, right? They talk about Jesus. Right. They talk about the Holy Spirit.
Right, and they do talk about the Godhead is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is really is Heavenly Father. Jesus was a spirit child of Heavenly Father, and therefore, they don't have equal honor and so forth. So really, technically, again, and I always say this because many members of the LDS Church really don't know what their church actually teaches, but technically, they can only worship Heavenly Father, and they really do not worship Jesus. They thank Heavenly Father for sending his son, but again, they don't worship him as God.
So what did you learn along the way in your conversations with Mormons and how you've developed your own plan for sharing the gospel with Mormons using language that they understand.
Right. What we try to do is use, and we call that language Mormonese. We call that language Mormonese. It's basically they use the same theological words we do, but they define them completely differently. And so what we're trying to do is speak their language, but again, especially talk to their stress points. And one of their big stress points in Mormonism, you have to be worthy for absolutely everything. You know, worthiness is this huge concept, and they really don't have any assurance that they are worthy before God. You know, on one end of the spectrum, you have the, what I would call somewhat the more the self-confident, we might, you know, say self-righteous Mormons, in a sense that they feel pretty confident because they're leading a good life and they're doing everything. But the vast majority of Mormons are really, really struggling. Am I worthy with God? Just one little story. Her name is Tiffany, and she was raised LDS. And actually, she's been out of the LDS church for maybe 15, 20 years and has been attending a Christian church. But she came to me last year, her and her husband, for some counseling. And the reason why they came for counseling was because even after being out of the LDS church for 15 years, she really was struggling with the idea that she was acceptable to God. You know, it's just ingrained in them that they have to gain God's favor, his worthiness.
How does one do that? How do you gain worthiness?
By following the rules and regulations of Mormonism. But again, just, you know, using an example of their the stress of that and the example of their language, they have to repent. And, you know, repentance is a good term, but in Mormonism, it's a painful process. And fourth is six steps to repentance in Mormonism. And the fourth step is abandoning or forsaking the sin. And if you just think about that, is if you committed a sin, this is how one LDS leader explained it to me. He said, if I took the Lord's name in vain when I was 17 and I repented of it, I was forgiven. But let's say I was 25 and I took the Lord's name in vain again, that means I wasn't truly repentant when I was 17 because I did not forsake or abandon the sin. And therefore, I I'm not forgiving even for the first sin. And then to make it even more striking is their sixth step of repentance is righteous living. And I think the first line in their official explanation say, it is not just enough to empty your life of sin. You know, you just stop right there. And so, you know, if you get somebody like Tiffany, who's just been pounded that into her entire life, it's very, very hard for somebody even out of Mormonism, but especially those in Mormonism, to really feel that they are acceptable to God, because it's all on what they have to do.
So how did that, where did that conversation go? How did you, what did you share with her?
Right, yeah. Well, you know what, again, because she was in a Christian environment and a Christian church, it was a little bit easier. But what we really tried to do, because again, the language difficulties, we really tried to, one of our key passages is Hebrews 10 verse 14. And we always use the King James because that's what the LDS church uses. But Hebrews 10 verse 14 says, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And especially that idea of being perfected by that one offering, Jesus Christ. And it's that past tense. It's a done deed. You know, Christianity is not do but done. You know, it's a done deed. And we come and say, you know, you are perfect in Christ. So one of the things we often do talk about, you know, the idea of perfection, that in Christ we are have been perfected. And then that actually leads into worthiness. Quite, you know, they are kissing cousins in a way, perfection and worthiness. So
then learning about that perfection that we have, that worthiness that we have in Christ.
Right.
Makes a world of difference, I'm sure.
Oh, it makes a world of difference. See, most Mormons see Jesus more as their example.
Mm-hmm. He's our brother. He's our example.
Yeah, he's a trailblazer. You know, he showed us what we have to do. And if you just sit back and think about that, you know, what a depressing thought if I have to follow in Jesus' footsteps in order to be worthy.
And that's not unlike other religions as well that teach that Jesus was a prophet, a teacher, a good example.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of, and that's why I think there's a lot of Christians who believe that LDS are Christian because, well, we somewhat teach the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's where a little bit of the trouble comes in. And then when we bring in the idea of substitution, you know, that's a brand new thought to Mormons. And it's one that often takes a lot of time to process. We actually have a program where we actively witness to LDS missionaries. And it's always interesting when our people are doing that, how it's like for the first time in their life, these young missionaries, these elders and sisters, really ever heard the concept of substitution in the sense that Jesus did it for me, you know, and they really struggle with that. But again, the power of God's word is so powerful. We just are confident that, you know, the Holy Spirit won't let them forget what we're sharing with them.
And what's fascinating is that, you know, they read the scriptures, right? They read the Bible, Old and New Testament, correct?
Oh, they do. But again, when you use the word scriptures, and I'm talking to an LDS person.
That includes.
You know, they would be immediately thinking of the Book of Mormon. They actually have four scriptures, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and the Bible. But then what's so interesting is they believe the Bible insofar as it's been translated correctly. And by that, they mean transmitted more. And then the Book of Mormon says many plain and precious truths have been left out of the Bible. So the bottom line is the Bible is the least reliable of their four scriptures. And so they, you know, again, with the Mormon missionaries, they will readily admit that most of them have never read much in the Bible. I mean, even though it's one of their scriptures. When they're reading, when I flew here in yesterday from Idaho, I was actually had a layover in Salt Lake City, and surrounding me on a plane were all these Mormon missionaries. I was really getting excited. but the plane was so loud we couldn't talk, but I did glance around, and they were all sitting there reading their Book of Mormon. You know, that was just so typical. So,
wow. So they're more familiar, it sounds like, with the Book of Mormon and the other books of the LDS as well, rather than the Old Testament, New Testament.
Right. And one of the advantages when we're always, like you were mentioning before about obstacles, one of our kind of themes is turning every obstacle into an opportunity.
Give me an example.
Well, and just like this, because they're claiming to be Christian, that's kind of new in the last 10 or 15 years. Now the idea is, like 15 years ago, if I would bring up the Bible to them, they would kind of blow it off in a sense, well, it's not reliable. But now, since they have to be claiming to be Christian, you know, they claim to be Christian, they know Christians have a high regard for the Bible. So in the last 10 or 15 years, we really see a difference that they don't just blow away the Bible. They really have to wrestle with it. And so, in a sense, we say that obstacle of them claiming to be a Christian has really given us the opportunity to say, hey, we have a common ground here. The one scripture we both, you know, one book we both look at as scripture is the Bible. So let's keep our discussion just centered on that. And that's kind of how we use it now to say, I don't really want to listen to the Book of Mormon. and that, again, is one of those places where people see it as an obstacle and we see it as an opportunity.
So taking that obstacle, turning it around into an opportunity to continue a conversation.
Right.
With just about a minute left.
Right.
What are some key things to listen for? You know, that's one of the things we talk about here on Witness Wednesday. The first step is to listen when being a witness.
And they believe that revelation comes through their feelings. So, you know, again,
burning in my bosom.
Yeah, burning in the bosom and all that. So, again, what we try to say is when we listen, we want to listen about their feelings because that's so important to them. And in a way, so, for example, as I respond to them, I will sometimes not respond so much the Bible says, bam, bam, bam. But I will say, the Lord has revealed to me. And of course, I'm thinking through the Bible. But again, I'm trying to listen to how they talk, and especially their pressures of stresses of being worthy, being forgiven, and all that. And the more I can listen to that, and I address those issues, the more I see the LDS members' ears perk up rather than get defensive. You know, and so we really get into a lot of extended relationships with them because they know we're listening to them.
Oh, I agree. Listening really helps bring down those defenses very quickly just by listening.
Right. And like with our LDS missionaries, we average about 8 to 10 visits with them.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Just spending time getting to know them and listen to what they have to say. And then then learning more about them. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Mark. Tell us your website so we can, if we want to find out more about Truth and Love Ministry.
Yeah, we're Truth and Love Ministry. So our website's very easy. It's TILM.org for Truth and Love Ministry.
Mark.
TILM.
TILM.org. Mark Harris, president of Truth and Love Ministry. Thanks for being our guest on Witness Wednesday.
Thank you.